Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
help you be. He's the Lord of all nations, ruler of creation, God of wonder, King of the world.
Get ready to be blessed. Jesus! Jesus! Lord, Lord Jesus, I give you my will. I give you my will. There's nobody better than you. Nobody mightier than you, Lord. So I give you my will. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you're about to do. We ask, Father God, that you would use us today as your very oracle here on earth, your mouthpiece, your ambassador, your servant, O God, to your people. Father, we decrease this morning that you might increase. We ask your mercy. We ask your grace. We ask your forgiveness, O God, upon this here line, upon those that are listening near and far. Father, we don't proclaim to be all that in the bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola, but we are saying, oh God, that you are perfecting us each day. We have not gotten to the place that we can say that we got it all together, Lord, but you are putting it together. As we yield our members, our mind, our hearts, and our soul to you, you are putting it together. We are the puzzle, and you are the puzzle maker. Lord, we thank you right now, God, how you're putting this together, Lord, that you took us out of the mire clay and place our feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask forgiveness for all those that are continually living in sin. We ask, God, that you would reach out from your throne in glory and touch not them but all of us, oh God, that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, Father, we just pray today for those that are sick in their bodies, those that are sick in their minds, those that are spiritually sick, God, that they might be healed today, Lord. We ask you to move from the White House to the outhouse, oh God. Lord, we ask that you touch the police officers, the teachers, the doctors, the nurses, the paramedics, the painters, the plumbers, the electricians, the housewives. God, that you touch the boys and girls in school, oh God, that they might say, yes, I'm going to learn not to disturb, not to critique, not to hurt someone, but to help someone. We pray today for every pedophile, that they may be arrested and subdued from hurting our children. Lord, we ask your blessing over this word as we speak this word today with power and with authority. We are talking about proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but broken in the natural. And as you look, you see so many teachers and preachers and lay people that are prophesying that they are archbishop, their bishop, their chief apostle, their evangelist, their pastors, their teachers. But in reality, they are nothing because they are not living what they're preaching. By the way, say, practice what you preach. So if we are declaring that we are holy, if we are declaring that we are righteous, if we are declaring that we are the one that God has chosen before the foundation of the world, we ought to be manifesting some type of anointing that says that we belong to God. He said that we will be his people and he will be our God. But we are not acting, hallelujah, glory to God. We are not living like we are the people of God. We are living like we belong to the world. He said we are in this world, but we are not of this world. But you see that preachers are putting nose piercing, belly piercing. They're putting piercing in the forehead, on the ears, on the lips, the tongue. Preachers are doing all this, tattoos all over their body, because they believe that if they become like the world, they will draw the world. And Jesus said no one can come to him, to the Father, except he draw them. No one can come. So we don't do the drawing. What we do is do the living. What we are supposed to do is do the living. In other words, we are supposed to allow our lights to shine, that men and women will see our good works and glorify the Father is in heaven. But we are trying to act like we are gods. We are not gods. We are sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So today I want to talk to you, glory to God, briefly about this message that I believe the Holy Spirit has poured into my heart. You see, I'm not even got there yet, but he's still pouring. See, we have to get to this place where we become completely surrendered. Bishop James used to say, you must commit and submit, or submit and commit. We got to get to this place where we are totally committed and submitted to God. Hallelujah. Not just in words because we study the Bible. Not just because we study the Hebrew or the Greek, or we know the dictionary. the Bible dictionary, but because we come to a greater understanding that Jesus is Lord, that he is Savior, that he is Redeemer, and that he has washed us in his precious blood. So we have come to this place where we say, I'm not just going to proclaim it, I'm going to be it. I'm going, hallelujah, I'm going to live it. Hallelujah, glory to God. So this is what God is saying to us today. Let's go to the book of James. I had John chapter 7, but let's go to the book of James. James. The Apostle James. Let's go down to James and look at chapter 2. We're talking about proclaiming to be whole. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Proclaiming to be whole. It's like a man saying, I love my wife, but every time you look around, he's in the whorehouse. Every time you look around, he's at the crack house. He's at the ABC liquor store. He's not spending any time with his wife. She said she loved her husband, but she got all of these little Negroes on the side that is digging into her. She don't love her husband. Why do we do the same thing? We say, I love God, but your actions don't declare that you love him. This is what she said. She, every time you look around, she's at the church building. He's at the church building, but look. When they leave the church building, they're over there playing dice. They're over there at the poker game. You understand what I'm trying to say? Don't say that you got it when you're not declaring it's not happening. It's not a showcase for God. You're a showcase for the world. You have your nice robe. You go to the hairdresser on Friday. You make sure your hair is set on Saturday. You fix your nails, you fix your toenails, fingernails, everything brush on your face. You got your shotgun, double breast suits in the breasted suit, your crocodile alligator shoes on. You got all the stuff that look the part, but you're not the part. God is saying this to us. We got to become the part. Jesus made his bed. He made it very plain. Peter said, here James says in James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Yes. Verse 12. He says, coming up there. I believe this is the Amplified. He says, so speak and so act as people should, who are to be judged under the law of liberty or freedom. The moral instructions given by Christ, especially about love. Jesus said, you got to walk it out. This is what the action means. I can tell you all day I love you, but if I'm not showing you, he said, well, God, he keeps saying he loved me, but I don't really believe he loved me, because what he's doing don't proclaim, don't show that he loved me. Love is an action word. You have men today and women today, they're all doing the same doggone thing. They say they love their spouse. And the next thing you know, the police, the FBI, the CIA, all of these people, government officials are breaking down their door because they have abused their wife. They shot her dead. They cut her up. They maimed her. She has thrown hot water on him. She's throwing grapes on him. His skin is coming off his face because she caught him in a bad act, cheating. He didn't love her. So now she's retaliating. He's retaliating. Why? Because they say they love each other, but their actions does not declare that they love each other. It's the same thing that we are doing to Jesus. We're proclaiming that we are whole, that we are in him. But we are broken in the natural because we are trying to keep up, like I said last night, we're trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Jeffersons. In other words, we're trying to keep up with the world. Preaching, I saw on YouTube. He's much younger than us. He got his 3-4 buttons undo on his shirt, so you can see his pectoral muscles, and it looks like he cuts a black man. You know, we shine, we a lot of oil inside of us, but he has more oil than the average black man. My suggestion or my thought was that, man, he must be all down his chest so that they can really see his pectoral muscles showing. Who is he trying to attract? Who is he trying to attract? We're not supposed to try to attract people. We're supposed to declare the gospel of God and let the Holy Spirit draw them. But if you try to draw them to your flesh, not doing what you called. You are broken. Hallelujah. Always ready to criticize somebody. Not showing them the way because you think you got it all down. You are so up on the gospel. You got it down. You question everybody's motives. Hey, she's not an apostle. She's not made to be an apostle. God said, a woman can't be an apostle. Can't be a prophet. Can't be all this stuff. But we can tell God who he, what to do. God can do anything he wants to. Bible said, people said, God ain't going to change his mind. But there's several times in the Bible that God relented. That means he changed his mind. He repented for what he was going to do. God can do anything he wants to. You can't make him change his mind. But he can change his mind if he wants to. Because he's God. Excuse me. See, I know this message tonight. Because I got up and had no kind of itching in my throat. And all of a sudden, I got this message here in my throat going on fire. Now he says, verse 13, we got a little way to go down this. This is a lot. I got it. I'm going to do this three-parter because I'm coming back in on Wednesday. The Lord say the same. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, for to him who has shown no mercy, the judgment will be merciless. Hear what God is saying. See, we get so uppity in the house of the Lord. We push our chest up and we say, my church, these are my people, like we went to the cross. A lot of preachers, I know preachers got $1.5 million church, $2 million churches. And they say, my church, my people. But they have no mercy, they have no compassion for the same people. That they say their people, if something go wrong. If the person falls short, and the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. They don't got no compassion. So this is why they're proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but they're broken in the natural. He says, for to him who has shown no mercy, the judgment will be merciless. But mercy, full of glad confidence, exult victorious over judgment. When you show mercy, you are in the right position. You have total access to mercy from God. You want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. This is what Solomon says. I was thinking last night as I got off the line, and as I was laying on the bed, I was thinking some more. Some people say that they are born again, full of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized. They're even speaking an unknown tongue. I don't know if it's a tongue from heaven or it's a tongue from hell. But when you see them, something go wrong. A lot of times, nothing has to go wrong, but the spirit that's within them, their faces look like they're. They bit a sour lemon, a real bitter lemon. There's no joy coming out their heart. And I said, Lord, who are they? Why are their face like that? I said, why do they look so sad? And they're supposed to know you as Lord and Savior. And the Bible said the joy of the Lord is their strength. But it don't seem like they have no joy. And the Lord said to me, he said, because they really don't know me. They know of me, but they really don't know me. Listen, let's go this far. I know the Holy Spirit don't try. It takes me a little time to get down the road. He said, what is the use of profit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such flesh save such soul? So let me make this plain for you. What is the point that saying that you are the ambassador of Christ, but your actions does not really declare who he is? It doesn't really represent him. I said I'm an ambassador of Christ as soon as somebody says something to me that I don't like, I go off the rocker. I fall off the rocking chair like I'm still in the world, acting like the world, and being part of the world. It don't profit. It doesn't profit the Lord And then it doesn't profit us. We're not winning souls for the kingdom. Because we're acting like this earthly kingdom. Now, I want you to know that there's a kingdom in the earth. There's supposed to be the kingdom of God here and the kingdom of Satan. So which kingdom are we operating in? Or for? We've got to ask ourselves this. See, proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but broken in the natural, we have to go back to the foot of the cross. We have to take a step back to the foot of the cross. You and I, all of us, have to take a step back, examine ourselves, take inventory of our own heart, of our own of our own thoughts. Look into ourselves and see, why am I doing this? What is my alternative motive? Am I doing this for the Lord? I'm doing it so I can encourage people to get more from them. Hallelujah. The preacher is preaching and says she's full of fire. She said, well, I'm gonna set up a prayer system where people can come together and we're gonna have a prayer conference at this place. Prayer's not big enough to handle thousands of people. Well, the fee to land to pay how she wants you to pay is $1,499.99. If you get to make her out first early. Sign up early. If you don't sign up early, it's $1,999.99. Why? Because it's not about God. It's not about telling you how ready to teach you how to really talk to God. It's about getting more money so that my accounts can get bigger. They're proclaiming to be holy in the spirit, but they're broken in the natural. Let's go a little further down here. Oh, God, I thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, if brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks for food, he said, and one of you says to him, goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed. Without giving him the necessities for the body, what good does that do? And I really am there. I'm on the road, going to the supply house, and I had money in my pocket, but I had my seatbelt and a seatbelt right around my pocket where the water is. There's cars behind me, wall-to-wall cars in front of me, outside of me, and there's a man with crippled fingers. He's begging, but he's got a whole bunch of dollars. I can't tell you how much it was. And he's trying to, and his fingers are so crippled, like he had strokes in his fingers. And I usually keep money in the ashtray, but for some reason I didn't put no money, had no money there. I had money in my wallet. And when he knocked my window, I said, I can't do it because look, the lights are turning green. I said to myself, but I'll catch you the next time. So on my way back, I'm coming down another street and I see a woman. She says, I got children, but I don't have a job. And I had money right there. But I signaled her to come to the window. What am I saying? Because God says, when you see a need and you have the supply sufficient to need, you should take care of it. Don't give it to somebody else. Don't find a reason why not to give. This is what Blog Talk Family do. I'm talking about the true Blog Talk Family. This is what we do. Hallelujah. How? Because we're representing God. And our light is not only going to shine by what we say, but our light must shine. See, there's a complete system. But what you say and what you do, they got to go together. When I tell Nancy I love her, I got to show her. I can't depend on her to do everything. She will do it because she loves her husband. But I said, baby, I got to dust. She said, do you take the clothes out? Oh, yeah, honey, that's all. Do you fix the garbage? That's right. I came in from work, and I'm so tired. And the kitchen sink was stocked up. I got the machine inside here. Electric machine. So I fell on them to a tire. She said, oh, don't worry about it. I lay across the bed. I couldn't even take a shower. I was beat. My muscle was sore. Took off the clothes and put them in the washing machine. She still washed the clothes for me. And I went to sleep. The computer going down like that. And I got up. Couldn't do it. But then the next day coming, I said, no, baby, I got to take care of this. Because I still got a little bit of energy working right here. You know, she took everything from all these decisions. Because I love her. I said, she loved me. She said, wait, you're so tired, baby, don't worry about it. I don't have to run the dishwasher today. The sink is not full of dishes. We don't ever keep the sink full of dishes. And I opened that drain. She was happy. She was happy because I did what needed to be done. We said we love God, and God says, if you love me, feed my sheep. He said, if you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. We don't want to feed. We want to give them what we want to give them, but not what God says. They're hungry. You tell them, go, goodbye. Listen to what he says. You tell them goodbye. Warm yourself and feed yourself. Without giving them the necessities for the body. What does it do? What good does it do? You say, God loves you. He'll take care of you. But God says, I put you in the pot to take care of them. There's a young group of people driving around in a van. That's like four white kids, white men, young men. They're on YouTube, you'll see them. They say, this show called That Was Epic. And they got some money. So they got a lot of money. And they're going around the house of the guy, this young man, he looks to me about 25, 26 years, somewhere around there. He's in his 20s. And they're going around, driving around different neighborhoods. And the guy got his clothes all dirty. He got some dirty oil and put on the clothes and messed up his face. And he got a basket, a shopping basket that you get from the grocery store. And he got some stuff. You know how the people. I'm trying to get this message through to you, till you understand how your light shines. Light, not only when you're on the altar, on that man-made altar, only when you're up there. So. They're going around the homes, and if they find anybody, and he says, I'm homeless. Good day, my man. Good day, sir. I'm homeless, and I just need, do you have any food? Can you give me a little water, something to drink, and something to eat? And the people that give him, listen, let me show how God does the same thing. The people that give him something, and he got the fellas in the truck, in the van, and the van got windows on the side, so the people can't see them, but they're a good wind. They got this high-powered camera. And they're taking pictures of the people when the guy at the door is talking to them with the grocery cart, begging for food. And some people say, well, no, I don't have any food. I don't have this. I don't do this. And no, very arrogant. Some of them folks say they were saved. They were Christians. But the ones that give them food, he reached into his pocket and said, you know what? This is just something that we're doing to show the people that have extend compassion, mercy, and grace. I think was messing with me, so I said, this is it. And he said, we will pay for your rent for a month. We'll pay your rent. And they said, you for real? College student. He went to a college student. He's called a black kid. And the kid opened the door and said, I don't know what's in the fridge because I know I'm a college student. I'm home from school. And so. He said, I'm going to look. He said, I can make you a hot dog and you a bottle of water. I said, that's fine. So the guy said, no, you know, I'm not really homeless. I'm just trying to see what type of people are out here in the world today. He says, and the ones that give me something to eat, I will pay their rent or their mortgage. He said, you for real? He said, my mama going to really trip up when she come home. One lady went and had hot dogs, a couple of hot dogs. Cup of little peanut butter and jelly. And he says, I really ain't hungry. I want to see the people that are willing to help the neighbor, the homeless. He said, I'm going to pay your rent. The lady says, started crying. She says, are you for real? And then the husband, he tried to play that. Yeah. No, don't do that. You don't have to do that. He said, no, I want to do that. This is what we're doing. God is looking for us to reach out and touch somebody with love, his compassion, his mercy. The guys begin to tell it. The lady and the husband begin to tell. He said, you know, you don't know how behind we are. But what little they have, they were willing to give to the homeless man. He said, she said, we are behind with our rent. We're behind with a light, bit of water, bit of gas. So you know how people are hurting. But she was still willing to give this man a sandwich and some water. Excuse me. Food is on fire. I'm telling you. And he paid for their rent. The lady started crying. She said, can I give you a hug? Do you know when you show up on compassion, when you give mercy, people extend mercy. When I give to the homeless people, you know what they said to me? God bless you. God bless you, sir. I mean, they bless you when you give, but you don't want to give. You find a reason why you don't want to give. You talk about your light bill. At least you got a light bill. You talk about your water bill. At least you got a water bill. You talk about your gas bill. You talk about your food bill. Everything, but you got a food bill. They don't have anything. They don't even have a food bill. The kind of guy that people that we take care of in Africa. And one time they were so cross that they put out of the place. And the man had enough to put the woman in a little room with the babies. And he was sleeping outside. Outside in the weather. On the ground. But when you give them, they're praying for you. All they can do is set up a prayer to heaven. And you wonder why you're sick. Listen what he says. Glory to God. He says, so also faith, verse 17. If it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power. Inoperative, it's dead. We are declaring all of this stuff. But we have to back up what we are seeing by what we do. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to back up everything that we are saying by what we do. Oh, you love God. But if you really love him, you'll feed his sheep. You will feed his sheep if you really love him. We tell everybody. Oh, I'm born again. I'm baptized. Oh, I teach, I preach. I sing in the choir. I play the keyboard. But let somebody need some help. And you got the help. You got the help. You find an excuse. But you'll go down to Juanita Bible Church or TD Jakes or see Creflo Dollar on TV or Charles Stanley. You understand? Bishop Jakes. You'll see one of them, Benny Hinn, one of those folks on the TV, and you'll use your credit card, or you'll send them a check from your checking account, because you think you can buy there. You can buy their anointing. But the one that will feed you every single day, this is people out there, they hear the message. A lot of people tithe every day, surprising all over the world. They will say, well, let me just find out how to send $10 to the Blog Talk radio station so they can help the poor. We're not trying to buy nothing. When the Lord give me a job, I make enough money that I can fill my closet if I want to. I don't need to buy any more clothes. I'm giving away clothes now. I was thinking last night some shoes that they're brand new. I miss you wearing one time. Brand new. I got some here in package that I ordered from overseas. They're still in package. Haven't even opened it. Size 11, size 12. I got them. Burn you. I'm going to give them away. Can't buy stuff. I give away two brand new pairs. Two brand new pairs, brown and black. Just give them away. Brand new. Never touch the ground. We want to go in there and look for old stuff. Give people stuff that you don't even want to put on your dog or your cat. Man, look at some. You got some new stuff in your garage. You got stuff in your closet that you're never going to wear. You're never going to get that. Don't get size 6, size 4, size 3. You're never going to get back to that size. Go get that stuff out. Excuse me. You only wear that stuff one time. Go take it off the closet and give it to somebody. Help them. Bless somebody. I love them. Sometimes you don't know. Just $20 can do so much for a family. $20. You say, yeah, I got to go to Applebee. You can go to Applebee and spend $85, but you can't give $20 for the poor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, they never try to mess with this computer. Look, they're going from going off my page, leave my page, and everything is going down. But I tell you something, I got something for you, devil. I'm going to hit you. Let's go back to James. You ain't going to stop this message today. Don't care what you do. Hey, trying to mess with my message. Back to James. Here we go back down here. Glory to God. Verse 18 says, but someone will say to you, you say who? You say you. Have faith. And I have good works. And I have good works. Now you show me your alleged faith apart from any good works, if you can. And I, by good works of obedience, will show you my faith. Hallelujah. You got to understand that faith and works got to walk hand in hand. They're like sister and brother. Hallelujah. I look at Apostle Washington. People say, you always talk about Apostle Washington. You always like you putting them on a pedestal. No, I'm not putting on a pedestal. I give an honor to where honor is due. If I don't even got the call. She get mad at me. I was talking about the end night. Apostle, this is the truth. Apostle rebuked me. She rebuked me. And I said, Lord, I thank you. Because I got a sister not afraid to tell me the truth. She said, Apostle, if you need us, call us. Don't you wait. Keep us up to what's going on. Keep us up to power what's going on. I said, Lord Jesus, thank you. I felt like a little rabbit with my tail between my legs. But she was truthful. And God would say to me why she would say that to me. You can depend on Bishop and Apostle Linda. They're going to always be there. And always say to me. And in my spirit, man, my broken man was saying, man, see, you got to be willing to humble yourself and call people. No, why am I saying this? Because God just showed me here. You have faith, but you got to have words to it. You have words, but you got to have faith to it. They got to go hand to hand, they sister and brother. We push our chest up like we arrive. And say, well, I'm going to do this. But you feel that you're doing it. No, they understand that they're working for the Lord. When we come to that climactic attitude to know that we are working for God, we operate different. We operate different. You're not working for Apostle. You're not working for Linda. You're not working for Bishop. You're working for the Lord. See? That way folks can proclaim that, I'm Bishop so-and-so. I'm Chief Apostle this. I'm Bishop. All this stuff. But they book themselves. You can't even get them respond to you unless you call them Dr. Somebody. Some folks, I don't even mess with them anymore. Apostle told the truth. I don't even mess with them. I pray for them. I don't connect them. I don't go with their lines or nothing like that. Right? Because they're all about titles. They're all about the gift, not the giver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't even mess with them. Because I don't know kids that got a PhD, a BA, and they don't know me. I don't care how much money that they have. This guy works for, he claimed he got a lot of money. I don't know if he got money or not. He claimed he got a lot of money. Don't want to talk about it. But guess what he got? Because he said, Pastor, I need you to pray for my family. We go through so much. Why? It seems like the devil come across. You put the devil first. You put money first. Ahead of people. Ahead of God. I come. I don't care if I don't get rich. I'm already rich in the kingdom. But I care about his reaching souls. So I came home and blessed them all. I said, and he called me and said, don't forget the other side. Don't forget. Because, why? I want you to see how awesome God is. Not me.
He works through the people that give him access. Listen to me what I'm saying. God works through the ones that give him access. Some folk know the Bible, but they're not giving God access to their hearts, to the altar. The altar is in your spiritual heart, not the one that's in the building. You're not giving God access to your altar. This is what it's written, proclaiming to behold in the spirit, but broken in the natural. Not giving God access. That's the altar that God wants to be on, not the one that the carpenter and the mason build in your building. God don't want to be on that altar. That altar is defiled. It's contaminated. God wants to be in the altar that's not made with hands. Do you hear what I'm saying?
My God.
I know this is not the message to make you show hallelujah, but this is the message to make you look at your heart. Because it made me,
amen,
when he dropped it in my spirit, I said, God,
amen,
I love this.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Deacon.
All right,
listen to what he said, Brother Deacon. Listen to what he says. You believe that God is one. Listen to what he says. You do well. So do the demons believe and shudder or tremble in terror and horror, such as make a man's ears stand on end and contract the surface of his skin. The devils, even the satanic powers, they believe that God is real. And guess what? They become humble and they tremble and become afraid when they see him or hear him. But you believe that God is real. You see, he's wrong. He's supreme, he's sovereign. But yes, sir, you wouldn't vouch for him. You wouldn't give him the honor that he needs. You wouldn't, like Bishop said, you wouldn't submit and commit to him. Totally submit and commit to him. Call yourself a prophetess. Call yourself a bishop, apostle, and all this stuff. But don't want to submit to the sovereign God, the one who sits high and see low, the one who will judge the quick and the dead. Don't want to submit to him because you got a lot of money in the bank. You drive a Lamborghini. You got a Ferrari. You got a Rolex watch on your hand. You got plenty of money in the bank. You don't want to, I don't depend on nobody. I got everything. Well, I got something for you.
My God.
The one that you need to get in touch with is coming. He's coming sooner and quicker than we know. Because the Bible says he comes in the twinkle of an eye. He's going to show up. You could be in the hospital, he's going to show up. That's going to be your time.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to show up right there. You don't even know him. Don't even know who he is. You know of him. Wouldn't help the poor. Wouldn't pray for the sick. You're all about you and no more. You, your four, no more. My daughter was dying. My daughter died. And I still have Blog Talk Radio. I still have the service. Well, you go, no, I got that. She's dead already. People alive still need to hear the word. People alive still have to hear the word. Glory to God. Apostle Washington's son was on deathbed, and she still come and bring the word. She got to be one. Well, what a problem, man, to get in the whole world and lose his own soul. We're going after stuff that is not going to profit the spirit man. It's profiting your flesh, your natural, but not your spirit. Listen to what James is saying. We got to bring this out of scripture in. Next time we'll come back, John chapter 7. Unless I get time to put some of this in. But listen, we got another stuff to get. We got to go to the book of Numbers, and we got to go back to Luke. We got to go all over the place for this thing. Listen to what he's saying. But listen to what James said. I said this last time. Look at this time. And the Amplify is so powerful. The Amplify Queen is on the program today. She's here with us, Amplify Queen, so she knows where I'm hitting. Listen to what he says. Are you willing to be shown proof? Your foolish, unproductive, spirituality deficient fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless. The problem is with us as teachers and preachers that we don't want nobody to explain anything to us. For come on, Blog Talk Radio and declare that they know it all. Apostle, you know the truth. And they will tell you how long they were preaching. I've been preaching for 45 years. I've been preaching for 50 years. I was born again from the time I was 10 years old. How many people have you heard since 10 years old? How many people are you helping now? You don't even want to preach unless you get paid.
My God, Jesus.
You hear what I'm saying? Because all of these preachers, most of them, majority of them is about money. They don't want to leave their house unless they get a check. Well, God says they got the reward. If that's what they want, pay them. They got their reward.
Amen.
But see, when you're living holy, you know that your reward is not here in this realm. Listen to me. Your reward is not in this realm. Your reward is in the heavenly realm, where the King of Kings resides. So you're working for him. See, I always say, I work for the Lord. The payment is not much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. So I'm working for the retirement plan. Hallelujah. Biden can't give that to me. President Trump can't give it to me. The Congress, the senators, the House of Representatives can't give it to me. The Supreme Court Justice Department can't give it to me. The Police Department, the Defense Department can't give it to me. Not the reward that I'm working for. He's the only one that can give it to us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Enter into paradise. Enter into my peace. All of this stuff he's going to say to you. Hallelujah. Unless you got to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. How could you? It's all about yourself. All I got to do is get on this line and say we're going to help some people. And apostles, sometimes I know they're not millionaires. They're just like me. Hey, they say, apostle, but why about we're going to send something? We're going to send a little something to help. And when the Lord will bless us to get a job, what we do? We tell them, so look, we just send some money here. We, Block Talk Family. Because when I send, I always include telling people, this is Block Talk Family, not David Callender and Nancy Callender. It's Block Talk Family. Because when I'm working and you're holding down the line, it's just as though you were out there in the field with me. Do you understand that? It's just that you were in the field with me because if you're not here holding down the line for God, I won't be here to do what I do. I had to come back here because this is my first number one priority, or I got to shut down the line. Hallelujah. Let's get back in here. This is Street Talk. Oh, Jesus. Look at what he says. This is so beautiful. Oh, you got to be willing to be exposed, to be rebuked. Our open rebuke is much better than the secret lie, secret sin. Hallelujah. Folk don't want to be rebuked. They don't want nobody to tell them anything. If you say something, I ain't going back there to that church line anymore. They talk to me any way they want to. But if you got a heart to really receive what God is saying, you're going to come on back just because I know that was God talking to me. That wasn't the bishop. That wasn't the apostle. That wasn't the deacon. That was God speaking to me. Because it was done decent and in love. Not to make nobody feel small. Pastor told me, you got to call us. In other words, get off your rump, apostle. Get off your rump and call us and let us know. We don't know what's going on. Let us know. Hallelujah. You get growth. When you get correction, you get growth. When you receive correction, you get growth. But if you don't receive correction, you're stuck on stupid. You're stuck on stupid.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying? If
Amen.
You don't receive
right.
correction, you're stuck on stupid who you were all
That's
the
right.
water while.
That's right.
You stay there. Thank you, Brother Deacon. You know when talking. Because you take a lot of correction. I know you get sad, upset sometimes, but you come on in. You still come on. Even when you get sad, you still come on. You say, God, because I know I'm growing. It's growth.
Yes,
it's like having a plant. And you know the plant needs water. But you say, I'm not going to give it no water. It's covered there, but having the plant begins to wither. Well, when you get rebuked, guess what happens? You get sad. But after a couple of days, you begin to flourish because you got water. That's what happened. I got nice beets outside. I told my wife today, I got to pull them beets up because the weather changing. Wash them off and put them in the fridge. Got kale. Got ginger. Tomatoes. I picked a lot of tomatoes yesterday. We're going to have some fried green tomatoes, and we got some ripe ones we're going to put on some hamburgers. I'm telling you, man. Oh, my God, I got to pick my parsley. Stuff is going to make me a drink. Clean all this stuff out of my throat. Man, I'm telling you something. God has given us wisdom. Wisdom. And not only for ourselves, the wisdom is not for us to walk around and push our chest up proclaiming that we got it together. No, the wisdom is so that we can help one another. Hallelujah. None of us got it all. I want to tell you this right now. None of us know it all. I know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I ask you a scripture, you can't find it. You can't find what the scripture is. I know the Bible from, I'm telling you, man, I've been studying the Bible a long time, 45 years. I ask you a scripture, you can't find it. Don't know which side. If not for the computer, phone where you can hit Bible, search, Google, and it come up real quick. You surprise somebody, you know the scripture. But you didn't know what it was. I don't know it all. And I read this Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And people sometimes hit me with scripture. I go, oh, my God, that's good. I got to write it down. And then I go and open my Bible and look at it. Why? Because I just got some information. We are helping one to another. The Bible says we are many members of one body.
Yes, Lord.
One spirit. The self-same spirit. Only one spirit. The problem is some people got many spirits. Like the one in the tomb of Gennesaret. And Jesus asked him, so we are many. Says there is legion, for we are many. Some people got a lot of spirits in them. They don't have the one spirit. That's why they act like the Incredible Hulk. I told you that the other night. But listen to what he says. Oh, my God. I hear the Holy Ghost is just sharing this thing. He says, was not our forefather Abraham shown to be justified, made acceptable to God by his works when he brought to the altar as an offering his own son Isaac? He asked you a question. Abraham did not only have faith in God, listen to what he's saying, but Abraham was showing to God, yes, here is my faith. I'm willing to lay my son Isaac, my only son, on the altar. The one that you give to me, not the bond, not the son from the bond lady. The one that came out of Sarah's womb, I'm willing to put to the altar. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to give your life for God to help the poor? That's where you're focused. Trusting God that God's going to supply. I know Apostle and Bishop has done it many times. I've done it. Me and Nancy have done it many times. And she said, well, how are we going? I said, honey, trust God. God said he'll supply our needs. And guess what? We'll give it up. It will be in a day past that somebody don't call the phone. Say, Apostle, can you come fix this? Come. Somebody call me and say, this man want this water heater installed. He want this thing installed. He want that installed. And we're not taking advantage of nobody. This guy, he charged $500-some. I know Apostle told me something about charging that kind of money in Louisiana. This guy that worked with me, he charged $500-some to install the water. You know what I charged? $270. I'm still making a profit. Why take advantage of people because they don't know how to do it, and you know how to do it? God give you a gift. Don't use your gift to overburden people. I charge them $270. I still make a profit. I'm going to do it in 45 minutes. How many people you know make $270 in 45 minutes? Not so many people. See, that's why I look at God. So you're making a lot of money in just 45 minutes. He makes $500-some, but then he got problems. His whole house is full of problems. His servant is bound down with problems. He got 6 sons and all of them giving him problems, giving him hell. Because if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. It's going to come back to you somewhere. Somewhere. Listen what God is saying. Oh, my God. Listen. Woo! You look at Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 14. You'll see all this here with Abraham. He said, verse 22 says, you see that his faith was cooperating with his works, and his faith was completed and reached its supreme expression when he implemented it by good works. How are you going to say you love the Lord and the Lord tell you You heard in your spirit how you ought to give to help the poor, to help the widows, to help the fatherless, the orphans. But you have an excuse all the time. And we are leaders. We got to set examples. I got Apostle Millie Jefferson. I got to talk because the Lord holds this coming with my spirit. She's right down there in the country. She's got sister sick, brother-in-law sick, daughter sick, son-in-law sick, grandsons, all these people in her family sick. She got the roof giving problems. She got the kitchen giving problems. All this stuff she's dealing with. She got her body falling apart. Thank God God is healing her. And every so often she sends money to help the kids. We don't use the money for nothing. God knows the truth. Because God has touched her heart to give to the poor, to the needy. And the Bible says, he just said, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, he will repay. You cannot be. Or folk will say, don't care how much you give, you can't be God giving. And I'm a living witness of that. This ain't what no preacher telling me. I've seen this for myself. You know, no preacher, nobody in there on television is telling me that. I've seen this for myself. I give, and before it can leave my pocket, it's on the way back, double. Because God ain't going to let you brag and say, I give to the poor, I give this. No, God said, let me just bless you. He says, I saw the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed in, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on God. And this was accounted to him as righteousness, as conformity to God's will in the thought and deed. And he was called God's friend in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8. You see that a man is justified, pronounced righteous before God through what he does and not alone through faith. Through words of obedience as well as by what he believes. So I tell Nancy all day long, I love her. I come in from work, I said, baby, let me just touch your smooth, soft, sexy body. We in our 70s. But I talk to her like that. Why? Because I want her to know that this old man said love her and desire her. Hallelujah! You better get this thing what I'm giving you. Because God wants us, if we're going to say we love the Lord, we got to show him.
Amen.
God
Hallelujah.
Is not concerned with what you're saying out your mouth. God
yes.
put people in your path for you to help them, and you say, well, go, bye, bye, bye. God going to help you. Just God going to provide your need. No, God said you are supposed to provide their needs. What did Peter tell Jesus? Send the people away, let them go get something to eat. Jesus said, not so. They've been with us all day. All these days we were preaching in this revival, they were with us. Jesus just set them down. They ain't son of God. He is omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent. He's all known, all seeing God. God didn't see the little boy yet with the first fish. But he tells Peter, set him down. Go back and read the text. He didn't see the little boy with the fish yet. But he knows something was in the atmosphere. He knows something was out there. Because he knows all. He just said, no, it's not going to happen. Peter said, well, this 200 denarii we got is not enough to buy food for all these people. He said, oh, never mind. Just set them down in the 50s, in groups of 50s. Because God knows he's going to supply. And then looking through his crowd, he said, a little lunch box. And he done already said that the little boy just had a couple of fishing covers, a few loads of bread. And he said, look. Little boy thought he going to make some sandwiches, fish sandwiches. But God not going to feed all these people, 5,000 people. He going to feed them with these two loads, the two fish and five loads of bread. God going to feed them all. Do you understand you can take $20 and send to Africa and you can feed a whole family for a week? $20? $20. You go to McDonald's, you can't even get something good for $20. You got to buy four or five things. These people go with $20, come out with a big old basket, big two or three bags with $20. But we say we love the Lord. And Lord said, I put the poor in your presence for you to help them.
Yeah.
You profess you love me, but will never do what I say do. I'm talking all the time, the Lord says. I'm speaking to you to give. They're proclaiming to be whole. This whole means that they're in right standing with God. That's what this whole means. They're in right standing with God, but they're not in obedience to God. That's what they're saying. I'm in right standing, but they don't obey God. How can you say you love him, but you don't obey him? All of us come up short of the glory of God. Yes. But God wants us to obey him. None of us are perfect. This is what he says. Oh, you see that a man is justified. Listen to what the apostle says. Pronounced righteous before God through what he does and not alone through faith, through works of obedience as well as by what he believes. Faith and works got to go together. If I go over, now, we're not talking this, but we're going to see this. Apostle knows, she knows that. A bishop knows. I was in Louisiana a couple of times. I went over there. At one time I'm there. We come to fellowship. But Apostle Garvin is supposed to have some nails or screws dropped on there. I know how to do it. I said, Bishop, well, you got a spanner, you got a screwdriver, you got a channel lock somewhere. He said, we got a couple pieces of tools in the garage. I said, Pastor, see what, Pastor, you ain't come over here to work. No, I come to work. I come to work for the Lord. And whatever God has given me, I got to use. This is what God gave me, my skill. Nobody can take it from me. And if I come over there and the furnace is broken, it's wintertime, and the air conditioner, summertime, the air conditioner is broken, and the wintertime, the furnace is broken, I can go to the place and rent a digital tester and come back with a Phillips screwdriver, and I can tell you what the problem going on with the furnace and fix it. That's working for the kingdom. Not just reading the Bible, not just prophesying or prophesying, but when you use the talent that God gave you. You don't hide the talent. Minister Buck was talking about that. You don't hide the talents, the gifts. You use them. Now, if I come out and say, well, Apostle, I'm just here to read the Bible. You can call the plumber. You know your plumber here in Louisiana. Call the plumber here, come and fix it. Why should I do that when I got the gift? I'm working for the Lord. Where do I go? Well, here in Massachusetts, where I go, my truck always have tools, and I have different components of to fix air conditioner, fix heat. Yeah, I was just supposed to, oh, that's how I give my car. So if I go to a service, may not be the church, building that I'm familiar with, but I'm in the where the furnace is broke. I've done it here in Rhode Island. And I take off my suit and went downstairs, jumping. I got one of those airplane flight suits. Pilot suits, and I jump into that flight suit. It covers my pants and then, oh, it's in my shoes. I ain't wearing my shoes. I got plenty of shoes if it gets scrapped. And I go down the basement and fix the furnace. Why? Because you're working. You're not doing that to be seen or to impress nobody. You're working for the Lord. And God's going to repay you. We so stuck on self. Me, my phone, no more. Listen to what God's saying, man. I'm telling you. Listen. So also was Rahab the harlot. Was she not shown to be justified, pronounced righteous before God by good deeds, when she took in the scouts, the spies, and sent them away by a different route? Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 to 21. For as the human body part from the spirit is lifeless, so faith, apart from its works of obedience, is also dead. See, we want to say that we are whole in the spirit, representing faith, see? But broken in the natural, representing the works. We're not doing anything for the kingdom. We're not doing anything. We're only doing stuff when it suffices us. But God said we got to be stretched with faith and works. Then the kingdom has been established through us, with us. Let's go to another scripture. We got a little time. Let's go to Luke chapter 6.
Luke chapter 6. Oh, my God. I tell this thing here with James. I said that last. I said, just bless me. Because I'm staying the Amplified, because I said Amplified Queen is on I'm sure with her on the program with us today. So we're gonna stay Amplified. Luke chapter 6. This is one of my good Bibles too. I like this too. Luke chapter 6, and Jesus is speaking. And your Bible should be in red. This is Jesus speaking. He says, verse 41. Let's go down to verse 41. And because this, once you get this, once you get it. Oh, Apostle, pray for me, Apostle. I tell you, my throat is itching like crazy. I got to go tomorrow to this woman's house tomorrow. If I got to go by myself, I'm going up there tomorrow and get some stuff done. Thank you, my sister.
Amen.
I want to talk. I want to get that house fired up this week. Listen, Luke, we're talking about proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but broken in the natural. And I give you a synopsis on that there just now. Proclaiming to be whole in the spirit represents faith, okay? And broken in the natural represents your works. Hallelujah. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, and let's go down to verse 41. And you can take this up a little higher, but let's start at verse 41. Listen to what Jesus says. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice or consider the beam of timber that is in your own eye? Listen to Jesus. We are very busy pointing the finger at other people. What they do and what they don't do. But what are we doing? Are we doing anything that represents the beam that's in our eyes? Hallelujah. We have to examine our own self. Take inventory of our own self. Some folks are so filled with jealousy. The church is compact with jealousy right now. One preacher was saying last night, that the witch of the warlock that infiltrated the church of God said that it's coming and it's so focused on being rich in the natural that they're forgetting the spiritual realm. Because everything that you gain here in the natural, you're going to leave behind. It can't go back with you. We forget that. But what you get in the spiritual realm, it'll leave with you. It will be written down in the book of the kingdom. So when you get there, the master, the sovereign Lord can say, well, here, let me look at your account. Come over here, Brother Dave. Son, let me look at your account. Sister, Linda, let me just look at your account. They're looking at you. You have everything is written down in the book there. In the book. That's where your reward is. We're trying to get stuff here. God wants us to enjoy what he allows us to have here. Don't let the stuff take over your intellect and take over your mind, your spirit, your soul, that you forget that you're not working for here. He said, verse 42, or how can you say to your brother, allow me to take out the speck that is in your eye when you yourself do not see the beam that is in your own eye? You actor, pretender, hypocrite. First take the beam out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. See, a lot of time we don't take an inventory of ourselves. We don't take a look at ourselves and see how idiotic we are acting. We are pushing ourselves on a putting ourselves on a pedestal, and then somebody come and knock on the pedestal, and you fall down like Eli and break your neck because you think you're right. You got it all together. We are not humble enough to represent God. Oh, God, did I say that? Holy Spirit, yes, I said it. We are not humble enough to represent God in the earth realm because we don't want to take correction. We don't want to be rebuked by the man of God or woman of God that it's covering your soul. Apostle Washington, without any equivocation, I can say, she covered my soul. Bishop covered my soul. I know this.
Because I drive the highway. And I drive at high speed when I'm on the highway, 80, 85 miles an hour on the highway. And I know I can only get from point A to point B safe and get back from point B to point A safe with prayer. Not because I'm a good driver. I haven't had a ticket in over 18 years. So I know I'm a good driver. But I don't put my trust in God. I put my trust in the faith of people that are praying for me. That I know they're praying for me. I had to do nothing. I don't talk to pastors on the phone for days. We always texting, though. We always texting and checking on each other. But when we do get to talk, me and her bishop, we talk for an hour and a half. When we do get to talk on the phone, we talk about Jesus. We pray for people. But I know that they're praying for me because they love me. I love them. This is called faith with works. Faith with works. I don't have to do nothing to get them to pray for me. That's called faith with works. And Jesus says, no. If I just got the ring, I don't have to wait till her son or daughter get in something or something. I'm praying for them all the time. I'm on the job, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them. Hallelujah. Last night I was interceding for them on my bed. They were interceding for me. This is how we stand above and not beneath. It's not money. It's not stuff. They support Blog Talk Radio. The family. People are eating and drinking are able to stay in a place, in places in Africa, in India, because of them. Because of us. I'm saying it because this is the word God gave me. Let us go to John. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Oh, my God. I'll get back to John. I'll bring me John now because I got a lot more scripture got to go in. Let's go to stay ready, Bishop. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. This is easy. We'll finish this one. Let's stop here, and then Bishop will come and do some. But this is going to be a three-part series. I already noticed because God has, this thing has energized me so much. I tell last time when I got off the line, I began to study this thing. Oh, Jesus, Holy Spirit, I tell you that this thing began to prompt my heart to see God's heart, to be who God wants me to be. Who God wants us to be. When you study this message, I'm telling you, it's going to do you. It's going to take you to another place. This particular message is going to take you to another place. It's going to make each and every one of us, thank you, Brother Deacon, it's going to make each and every one of us examine our own selves. Don't look at the preacher. Look at yourself.
Amen.
It's not when you go down to that church with that man behind that altar, that woman behind that podium. That's not the altar God is looking at. He's looking at the altar of your heart. That's where he is. He said, I don't dwell in a place made with hands. He's not there. He's in your heart. That's where the altar that you need to clean up. You need to start repenting. We need to, forgive me, Lord. We need to start repenting and ask God to help us to clean our altar. There is to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Why? Because God is coming where the altar is messed up, where the altar is contaminated. So we need to humble ourselves. Don't think that we are right because we know Genesis to Revelation. Don't think that we are right because we know how to exercise and how we know how to compile. I like the scriptures. No. Your heart's still contaminated. Go in there, ask God. Look at your heart. How quick you get angry and want to tell somebody, get somebody a piece of mind. You wonder why we're so idiotic, because every time something goes wrong, we give away a piece of our mind. You're giving somebody a piece of your mind. God wants your whole mind.
Hallelujah.
So he created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. I ain't giving nobody no peace online. It took me a long time to get where I'm at. God brought me a long way. I still got a long way to go. But I'm closer than when I first began. That's why I'm happy. I'm not afraid. I'm happy. Romans chapter 4, start of verse 19. He did not waken in faith when he considered the utter importance of his own body, talking about Abraham. Listen, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's dead in womb. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Genesis chapter 18, verse 11. He said, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question. concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. And see, what happened is that we allow the situation or the circumstances to hinder us from doing what God called us to do. Hallelujah. I'm not here to make money. I want you to know this. I am here to win souls. We are not here to make money. We are here to win souls. We are making, oh God, I hear you, Holy Spirit, Apostle of this session. We are here to win souls for the kingdom.
Yes.
To make heavenly deposits. To make heavenly deposits. Once you get that mindset, you begin to change. We begin to change. Hallelujah. You got folk that we started with that should be here every time love's not open. But they're thinking about the church building, so they want to be in the church building. They want to be seen. You can hear me, but you can't see me. You might see me in the spirit if you're looking good. I was talking to a minister yesterday. I said, look, I'm going to see you now. I said, with bloated mind, I said, look, what are you doing? I said, I'm closing my eyes because I want to see you in the spirit. I said, do you know you see more with your eyes closed than when your eyes are open? Because when your eyes are open, your eyes are looking at everything that's around you, the television, the trees, you're looking at the birds, you're looking at the cars that are passing by, you're looking at everything. So your mind, your spiritual senses are distracted. But when you close your eyes, that's why a blind man can see so much more than people that have eyes. The Bible says you have eyes and can't see, you have ears and can't hear. When you close your eyes, you begin to see in the spirit. Do you know that? You begin to see in the spirit. You begin to hear better in the spirit. Oh, the minister was blown away. I said, yeah, because now I can see you spiritually. Hallelujah. But here, Jesus, right here too by this prophet, he said, look, Abraham did not allow unbelief and doubt to hinder him. Looking at his body, he could say, Lord, my God, no, I don't believe. But he has faith. And he's trusting God that God is able to do what he said he would do. We have to put God to a test. Try God. Give up your life to see if God's going to come true for you, Lord. I'm going to give the poor this. I'm going to help the poor. You promised that you will supply my needs. So I'm trusting you. He said he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body. He was not able to have an erection. That's what he's saying. Which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness, Sarah's womb was completely withered. All shriveled up. Deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. When you trust God, something happens on the inside of you, not on the outside. You begin to change on the inside. That's why people say, man, something different is happening. Man, I look at you, something is happening. They can't see the inside, but they can see that, oh, because the inside is changing, now it begins to show up on the outside. And they say, man, you look different. Man, you even talk different. Why? Because something is happening on the inside. You are trusting God on the inside. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, fully satisfied and assured that God was able to and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. You hear it. I was talking to Minister Andre. Yeah, that said, look, let me tell you something. And God said he's going to bring your husband here. And you get a prophetic word that is coming. And you wavering, thinking that. Well, you get prophetic word that is coming, but it's not here yet. But I said, but consider this. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. 1,000 years like a day. So when you get a prophetic word, you got to believe in the prophetic word, not in the time. Because God's time is not your time. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways is higher than our ways. So you got to understand when God says come, God is going to be here at the right time, at the appropriate time that God wants him to hear. at the set time that God has ordained for him to hear, and he's coming. Hell
Amen.
Cannot handle him.
My God.
So rest, because I know you're worried about your husband. He said, oh God, this is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. See, excuse me, when you trust and believe in what God is saying, it's written down as righteousness. It's written down in the heavenly records as righteousness on your card. You can now make withdrawals on your faith in God because of the works that you match with your faith. You're not saying, I believe in that. Well, I don't have time to study the word. I don't have time to pray for nobody. I don't have time. No. Your faith got to find time. Your faith find time. But they were written. No. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for his sake alone. See, this thing is written down so that we can draw from. If Abraham, 100 years old, and his wife, almost 99 years old, she's almost 100 herself, they can trust God even though she laughed. They still trusted God. We can say, well, if these old people can trust God to have a child, we can trust God for this little Mordecai need. I can trust God for this house. I can trust God for this husband. I don't have to go looking for anybody and lay down with anybody to open that they were married to me or lay down and find this woman going to be my wife. I can trust God that he goes allow me to find the perfect woman goes to find waiting for me. The wife, the husband that need to find me will find me. I trust God. Because look at Abraham. He trusted God. In the natural, he was saying, well, Sarah can't never have a baby. They mm-hmm. would say that. He said, how can this be? I'm old. Well, Mary said, how can this be? I never slept with a man. How can I have a son? The Holy Ghost is powerful. Listen. But there were written for our sake through righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe and trust and adhere to and rely on God, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds, and was raised to secure our justification or acquittal, making our account balanced by God, absolving us from all guilt before God. Do you hear that? There you're walking the way you believe in Christ Jesus. You can say, I got an advocate. I got a lawyer in heaven that's working on my behalf who has never lost a case before. Do you hear me today? So I can trust him. I can put my faith to work. I can add works to my faith. What God tells me to do, I will do because I know he's not a man that shall lie, nor the son of man that he must repent. What God says, I believe it, that says it. I don't have to hear from nobody else. I'm going to do it anyway. People are going to tell you, don't give. Don't give to the poor. Why are you going to give to them? They need to get a job. No, what did God say? What did God say? Glory to God. Luke 6:38. We're going to come back to this. Luke 6:38. We were just in Luke, but let's hit this here. This is one scripture the Lord gave me last night. 6:30. You know the scripture. It's talking about giving. He says, give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they pour into the pouch or bosom formed by the bosom of your robe and use as a bag. For with the measure you deal out or give, with the measure you will use when you confer benefits on others, it will be measured back to you. When you give, listen to me, when you give, it shall be given back to you. You can't get away from it. God gonna make a way out of nowhere. Why? Because he is the way maker. He is the promise-keeping God. He is the light in darkness. Hallelujah. We got to learn how to trust God Especially when the wind is blowing, when the rain is falling, when the snow and ice sleep, when it seems like there's a turbulence in the atmosphere. We got to trust God. All hell is breaking loose after me right now. Because I said, God, I trust you. I know that you're going to speak peace. As a matter of fact, I know you're speaking peace to the situation right now in my life, God. So I trust you, God. I know that I am already victorious. I'm not going to be victorious. I'm already victorious. Hallelujah, glory to God. When you begin to trust him that kind of way, God shows up because you're not just saying, but now you're doing. You're standing on the word. You're not going to try to fix it. You're not going to give anyone a piece of your mind because you got upset in the flesh. Hallelujah. In the natural, you upset, so you're giving away a piece of your mind. God said, no, stay in the spiritual realm with me. And daughter, son, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you to come out victorious because I'm fighting for you. I don't need you to fight. Put down the baseball bat. Put down the knife. Put down the knife, oh God. Put down the gun. He said, let me fight your battle. I will show you how to win. Ah, God, because I'm winning for you. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm going to show you that on this job that you're going to be who I call you to be, that you will receive the position that I've already ordained for you before the foundation of the world. God said, just trust me, son. Trust me, daughter. Go back. I always say, go into the bathroom and have a conference with God. Hallelujah. Go into the bathroom. Go in the closet. The sister messed you up. The brother messed you up. Go into the bathroom and have a conference with God. Talk to God in secret. You don't have to shout out that the people outside here were seeing in the bathroom, we in the bathroom talking to God. No. A whisper. Hallelujah. My minister Andre was saying she was just another minister I was talking to said I was talking to God. I was praying and all of a sudden she said my mouth was moving, but no words were coming out my mouth. He said, I just couldn't stop. He said, I was praying. He said, I said, you know, sometimes God will have you talk, move your mouth, because he don't want Satan and his agents to hear what you're saying to him. Hallelujah, glory to God, because Satan just wants to steal the word. He wants to steal your prayer. He wants to steal your blessing. So he will have your mouth moving like Hannah. When she was in the temple, she was talking to God about having a child, but her mouth was moving, but no words. Eli could not, the priest could not hear any word. He thought she was drunk. Hallelujah, glory to God. But she said, I have not drink no wine, no strong drink or beer. I was having in my burden, my weight, my sorrow, I was talking to God. Hallelujah. Because you see, as the devil hears your plans, he will try to mess up your plans. Sometimes you need to go into the bathroom and just talk to God. Just move. Silent. Hallelujah. Then when you come out of there, you will be a show because now you're putting works to your faith. Hallelujah. Yeah, see, you got some faith, but now you got to work. You got to go pray. That's your action you're putting to your faith. And then God will move on your behalf, and then the enemy will be shattered. He will tremble because now he don't have no access to you. He can't do. He don't know what's your plan. He don't know what you plan to do, but God knows, and God is working on your plan. God bless you. Father, I thank you for this word that you have given us today. Lord, we got more to give because you give us so much more. We got more to give to your people. And Lord, we know that when we come back, hopefully Wednesday or Thursday, that God, we will have what you gave us to give to them. Lord, we ask God if you bless every listening ear, you touch every receptive heart today that heard this message. And those that would hear it later, God, I ask you to bless them like you blessed me with this word. Even though my throat was itching me, Lord, we still did what we said to do. And God, we thank you for healing me. Apostle, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for healing my esophagus right now, God, and cleansing it from every infirmity that's trying to penetrate in the membranes of my esophagus, God. We thank you, Lord, for you are the greatest healer. Lord, there's no other healer but you. You are Jehovah Rapha. Lord, we bless your name. We praise your name. We honor your name. Lord, we bow before you at the altar, Lord God. We said that you are Lord. You are the Lord of all altar, Lord. You come in and sit, our God, at the altar with us, Lord God, today. As always, God, we welcome you always. And we welcome your love, your compassion, your mercy, and your grace for us, Lord God, because you give us what we don't deserve. What we deserve, you never give us. And we thank you, Lord. Bless the bishop as he come forth. And the line is in your hand, Brother Bishop, as you're there. Come on in, and then we'll open the line. Somebody needs to be saved.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Oh, Pastor, I'm sorry. Thank you, Bishop. I'm trying to downgrade you there. Thank you, Apostle. First of all, thanks be to God Almighty for the word that went forth today. Oh, Father God, Thank you for all those who have decided on this day that they will accept you as their Lord and Savior. It's the only way to heaven, Lord Jesus, is through you. So why would anybody be so foolish as not to accept you? The enemy knows how to work on people and
mm-hmm.
where their weaknesses are. And, people have excuses. I'll do it Sunday when I go to church. It is Sunday. Okay? And you're in church. So do it now. Every day is Sunday. Every day Jesus is in us. Why not accept him as our Savior? He's the only way to get to heaven. The only way to eternal salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I urge you on this day. Don't wait until, I'm going to go to church and this evening. I'm going to try evening service and do it. Who told you you're going to be here to do it? There's many things that could curb you from being there. One is death. And you don't have a chance. Do it now. And once you cross over to the other side, it's too late. So please, I urge you, accept Jesus as your Savior. And all of you brothers and sisters who have backslidden, come back home. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. The sower you say will be your own. Hallelujah. Now, if you have a Bible, I ask you to go to the scripture as I called them out and mark them. And it's very short. The first scripture is John, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And the second one would be Romans 3, verse 23. And the third one would be Romans chapter 6, at verse 23. Now, the next scripture is the book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. And verse 8, and then verse 9. And the next scripture is the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. The next scripture is the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 38, chapter 2, verse 38 through 4. Okay. The book of Romans, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. God says in his word, the words of God is saying, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our souls. He sacrificed because of our sins and iniquities, not Jesus. Sin was put on Jesus so he could carry this weight. And rid all mankind of the sin. Okay. We couldn't take it. Only Jesus could. Yes, the ultimate sacrifice.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
And God so loved the world and sent his only begotten Son.
Yes, yes.
Not to condemn the world, but by him, the world might be saved. Pay attention to read those scriptures, but accept them as your Savior today, I urge you. Now, in the book of Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 10, and verses 8 and 9, confession is made, and it simply says in verse 8, well, what does it say? Because the word is near you. It's in your mouth. Which means you have to speak it. You have to speak it and say it. Put it into the atmosphere. Don't whisper it or think about accepting the Savior and say, I'm accepting Jesus as my Savior. People, the enemy needs to know. He can inject thoughts in your mind, but he can't read your mind. So he doesn't know that you're thinking about doing something. You know, slam him to the ground. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's no other way to the kingdom of God except through Jesus. And don't let anybody try to fool you. Don't let anybody. The word of God is the truth. Okay. And it says, word is new, it's in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for our sins and iniquities, hallelujah, and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's very simple prayer. Now, if you made that simple prayer, you're now saved. And here's the key. You must repent from this day forward and do not go back to the way you were living, the way you were saying things, the way you were doing things, going where you were going, doing everything that was out of the will of God. Repent from those things. And you will find that the Christian life is a beautiful life. It's not a life of restrictions that we can't do anything, can't go to a movie, we can't go to a birthday party, we can't have a good time with family. Sure you can. You know, and you can go places and do things that people do, but good, wholesome things. Don't do the wrong things. Don't do the things that's out of the will of God. And it's very simple. If you get a thought in your mind and it's not good, it's not a thought from God, immediately rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And don't go back. Do not return to the life that you were living. Repent from that life. Repent. And if you've made this confession, your slate is clean. You don't have any blemishes, any dirt, any charges. You've been forgiven for all sins. If that's Jesus' word, not bishops, not apostles, not anybody else, only Jesus. Now, the next step is to be baptized. And baptism is an outward sign that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's an outward sign announcing to the world, through whatever you want to call it, visual, I guess. Because if you invite people to your baptism and you say, hey, I'm going to be baptized, you know, would you like to come along and witness my baptism? And by doing so, one soul or 100, how many people you invite, if they have never been saved or if they're backslidden, it just might draw them back to Jesus.
Amen.
And that soul will be accounted to your account for drawing that soul to Jesus Christ. Don't pass up this double pleasure. That's a double anointing that's just been put on you. You know, you have an opportunity. You're an ambassador now for Christ. Yeah, invite people in life and get out of the world. Okay. Invite people to baptism. Everyone. No matter if you know the people or not, invite them anyway. If they're your worst enemy, invite them. Invite family members, neighbors, coworkers, strangers. Everyone, invite them to your baptism. Into that baptism, and they see works of the Lord firsthand for themselves. You know, you can be assured that you will be rewarded for drawing that soul to Christ. Yes, he promised us. And he doesn't break promises. Remember that. He does not break promises. Okay. So accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And sure you say, God, thank you. I want to be a part of the Christian life. Come into my life for all eternity. I repent of all my sins and iniquities. Thank you, Jesus, for suffering on Calvary and dying for my sins and iniquities, not your own. But thank you for loving us so much, that you obeyed the Father and that you took these horrible pains and pulling your beard out, pushing the crown of thorns down into your flesh, down to your head. But saying so, you've told the enemy, I'm through with you. And you must repent, as I say. Repent, repent, repent. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, the first thing that Peter told the assembly, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. Repent, okay? Do not return, Peter said it. In his sermon. Now, if you really believe, you're now saved. Hallelujah. Your slate is clean. Thank you, Jesus. If you've backslidden and you come back, say thank you, Jesus. And one more scripture that I quoted to you. It's in the book of Acts also, chapter 4 at verse 12. If you have a Bible, repeat it. Read it for yourself. If you don't get a Bible and repeat it for yourself. There's no other name mentioned under heaven that mankind shall be saved by. No other name except Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Read it. As I said, God inspired men to write this Bible. Yes, he used them. Take your time. Ask God. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. If you don't understand, please explain it to me. And he will. He will. It didn't explain to you through mankind, or he may just give you an audible voice. Either way, it's so beautiful to understand why God sent his only begotten Son, because he was the only one good enough to do it. The only one good enough to make the sacrifice. So God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to the family of God, the believers. Welcome back. Brothers and sisters who have strayed away, welcome back home. You know, there's a celebration going on in heaven for every soul who has Jesus, and for every soul who has repented and come back to you, Lord Jesus. There's a celebration going on in heaven. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, Apostle, I'm through with the prayer of salvation. Congratulations to all who accepted Jesus as their Savior today. And the line is open for comments. Hallelujah. And Apostle calendar, whenever comments are completed, if you want me to close off the line, then let me know, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much for that prayer of salvation. My brother, my friend, and my
Hallelujah.
Co-worker in the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
God, we thank God for you doing what you do. So the line is
Hallelujah.
open for anyone that want to respond and add to what you heard, the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, our souls and all that's within us. In his holy name. Glory be to God, all that's within us. In your name. In the love of God. We greet you with love. We are grateful to be here this morning. Thank you, Apostle Calendar, for such a wonderful word. And God use you mightily today. Glory be to God. Everything that you have said is everything that we need to do or not do. And I heard it all, and I was blessed by it. You know, we always know that action speaks louder than words. Whatever we are speaking, whatever's coming out of our mouth, and whatever we're doing, that says who we are. It speaks loudly. It speaks loudly. We can say one thing. We can say you're saying in your word here today that we talk about it, we give it lip service, we complain, we proclaim to be all in with Jesus. We proclaim to be Christians. But our actions are saying something totally different. So we're to believe what we see. And even sometimes what we see can be deceiving. But when people are doing the same things over and over and over, why don't people believe it? Why can't people see it? Why can't people see the evil? It's because they've been blinded. They are blinded. And unfortunately, the flesh is weak. And because we have been blinded, we're blinded by deception, blinded by sin, and we're not, because we can't see. We can't see the way God sees it. We have to have the same viewpoint as God. And things that you said, you were all in there with so much. There's something in this message for everyone. And it makes a message like this will inspire us to examine ourselves. There's something in there for everybody. And so the flesh is never going to be willing to do us right. The flesh was condemned from the beginning. Hallelujah. The flesh was born to lose. Amen. But our soul has been raised up when we give Jesus Christ our life. Our soul is raised up spiritually, and our soul is always willing. It's always willing to do what's right, but that flesh is weak. And that's what I kept hearing as you were preaching. And one of the big reasons why, and you alluded to that too, it's about doing the things of God and praying, you know. We're sleeping and we ought to be awake. We're sleeping when we're not paying attention to what's going on. And many people are looking for the acts in church, you know. We want to see the people all dressed up, and it's exciting to see that. And it's exciting when you see how they're jumping up and down in church and, you know, all of the acting that's going on. It's just an act. It's really just an act. The altar is not consecrated unto the Lord, and you talked about that. It's not. It's man's altar. It's not God's altar. And that's why they can dance up and down on the altar and dance like the world, act like the world, and see like the world. So the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, according to Matthew chapter 26. So Jesus commanded that we pray to the Father, that we pray. And when we pray, it strengthens us. When we pray for others, and you always talk about doing for others, because that's what it's all about. You talked about Jesus and how he fed the multitude, you know, and it was five things, well, two different things he used, but the number five, number of grace. Hallelujah. God is pouring out his grace even on those that don't appreciate him. God's grace is with us. And he'll pour his grace and his mercy on us. So, you know, giving us time to come around to do the right thing. It gives us time. You know, the old people used to say, old bad grass don't die. I didn't understand what they meant now, because God allows people, some people live a long time, and God allows it for his own purpose, amen, his own purpose. And while we're doing wrong, God is right there watching it. While we're doing right, he's watching it. And so we got to stop sleeping. We got to listen to Jesus. Wake up. Wake up. When he found the disciples sleeping instead of praying, remember, he admonished them to stay awake. Look, I'm telling y'all, stay awake and pray with me. But they stayed sleeping. Every time he went back out, they were sleeping. And what the church is doing, the church is sleeping, and people are so asleep, we don't even see what's going on in this world. We are experiencing a global pandemic right now. It is global. Amen. It's not just in some places. It is everywhere. And we got to have our eyes open. We got to be praying. And we got to stop giving into the flesh. And that's what you were talking about. It was all about the flesh and the soul. The soul is willing. The flesh is weak. And we can't keep sleeping. We got to get up, do what we need to do. The Bible says that the disciples slept all the way up until the mob came to take Jesus away. So what is it saying? While we're sleeping, the devil is stealing. While we're sleeping, the devil is stealing, wheeling all the wrong and evil while we're sleeping, while we're not awake in the Lord. The devil is stealing, killing, doing all of the things that he does, deceiving, causing people to lie. They can't hear the spirit. They can't hear God. Hallelujah. Because the spirit is weak. No, not the spirit. The flesh is weak. So the disciples were caught up in the flesh. And the devil will want us to sleep. The devil got people sleeping. People will be awake to everything else. But when it comes to the word, oh, I'll do that later. Oh, I'll just go back to sleep. He actually puts, people actually go to sleep. But let it be a conversation. Let it be a conversation that we're interested in. Let it be the music that we're interested in. Let it be something we're interested in, and we'll be wide awake. Why do you think people are sleeping? Why do you think people are so tired when you come to the Word? Soon as you open your Bible, if you don't watch it, you'll go to sleep a while. So I know this to be true. So we got to stay awake and do what Jesus said. Be awakened in the spirit. Hallelujah. Now allow our spirit to take over. Allow God to take over, because everything you're saying in this word, everything the enemy want to do is negative, negative, negative. And so we have to take the time. That's what I was saying. Take the time to do the things of God. Just take the time. Be willing. If we're just willing, God will make us able to do what we need to do, able to give like you're talking about. And you were letting people know that God, when you give, you can't be God-given. He's going to give you back. When you pray for others, God's going to bless your life. When we're praying for others and giving to others, God is going to bless our lives. We get blessed back, and we get blessed back even the more than what we give. And I was hearing that too. You're getting your blessings when you decide, when we decide that we're going to do all and be obedient to all that God has commanded us to do, then we're going to just, we're not going to be obeying the flesh. We are going to be in the spirit. And we are saying to God, God, I'm willing. God, I'm willing. Use me, God. But people just want to do, they just allow that flesh to come in. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing that we can't stay awake. And that's the enemy. He does that. And that's a very good thing that Jesus walked out. In other words, Jesus is watching. He's watching. He knows when we're praying. He knows when we're not praying. He knows what we're doing all the time. And he's saying to us through this word today, what I was hearing, wake up. Wake up. Do what's right. Ask God to give us the strength to stay awake. God, give us the strength to do what's right, God. Let us be always mindful of your ways and your word, God. Because, you know, everything you said that happens with people, the wrong things that happen is because the flesh is in there. And the flesh, like I said, the flesh is a loser. It was born to lose. Because when we were born into sin. All of the things that we did against God was criminal. Sinning is just like doing criminal acts, because we're rejecting God and we're disobeying God. Amen. Jesus was treated like a common criminal on the cross and throughout the crucifixion, because we did criminal acts, because he had to suffer for our sins. And so we just want to get it right. We should just want to get it right. And also, you talked about helping one to another. We got to do that too. So many different things. We can go back to this word and pull out different points that you were talking about, where it alludes to just doing the will of the Father. That's the bottom line. That's what we have to do. So Jesus is saying to us today, be watchful. Be watchful, then we'll be mindful of what's going on in this world, and we can see that it's getting worse every day. Every day we hear more and more of the terrible things, the devastating things that's happening in the world, economically, socially, in every way, spiritually, people are just not mindful of the word of God, and the flesh is just taking over. The enemy is wreaking havoc in this world. So, Apostle, you got to know that the enemy can hear. He listens. And that's so awesome what you said, Minister Andara said, that the words weren't coming out of our mouth. That's such a good point, too, that there are times when we silently pray, when the words are just not coming out, because that's the Holy Spirit praying through us, and the enemy can't hear our plans and hear what we're praying. That's a good point. I'm so glad you brought that out in the message, because we can pray silently. We don't always have to be praying out loud. We can pray silently. God can hear our minds. The enemy can't hear what's on our minds. He can put something on our minds, but he can't hear what's on our minds. And he can't hear those prayers that are silent. He cannot hear that, because God knows the heart. God hears what our heart is saying to him, or what our heart is saying about anything. So we got to pledge our allegiance, pledge our time, pledge our giving, pledge our praying. We got to give it. We just got to give it. We got to pledge our lives to Jesus. Bottom line. Bottom line, that's it. We got to do it. If we don't do it, we're going to die. Our soul is going to stay dead, and we're not going to be with Jesus. When it's all said and done, we're not going to be with Jesus. So I'll say it again. The flesh is weak. What he was saying, Jesus knows. He knew his disciples cared about him. But he knew that the flesh was taking over their desire to pray and watch.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying to them, I know you want to stay awake. I know you want to pray. I know you want to give. I know you want to go preaching. I know you want to teach. I know you want to do the things. That is so weak. So Jesus was saying, I understand. I understand what you're going through. Because the devil was speaking to Jesus too. He was bold enough to speak to Jesus, to try to tempt Jesus in the garden. And I'm sure many more times that's not recorded. Because he comes after the saints.
Right.
He comes after the saints to hinder us from what we are supposed to be doing, to hinder us from receiving of what God has for us. Amen. So just remember, please pray all throughout the day. Lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and it will empower us to do what's right. Paul was empowered by the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit of God, and he had that authority, and he used it. He used it because he was prayerful, because he had his mind made up that he was going to serve the Lord. Apostle, you have your mind made up that you are going to serve the Lord. We have to make our minds up. We have to say, no, I'm not going to go to sleep. No, I am going to stay awake. Yes, I am going to hear the word of God. Even if you got to walk around, even if you got to stand up, walk around, go around, because he's putting people asleep. People go to sleep in church. The word is gone for, and it's sleeping. Everybody is sleeping, and that's because it's what the enemy does. He does not want us to hear the word of God. He does not want us to hear a revelation from the Lord. So he keeps us out of prayer. He keeps us from going to the prayer meeting. He keeps us from doing all the different things that we're supposed to do for the Lord. So I like what you said about how you're supposed to treat your family, how you're supposed to treat, you know, your spouse in general, how you're supposed to treat the people of God, how we're supposed to be praying, and we're supposed to be doing the things of the Lord. And when we make up our minds to do that, then we're going to be empowered the way apostle, the way you are, empowered the way Paul the apostle was empowered, how Peter was empowered after the Holy Spirit came in. And in the book of Acts, how the apostles went out from house to house, my God, and thousands of people were saved. Hallelujah. They were teaching and preaching the word of God with power. We're not going to have the power if we're not praying and if we're not in the right place in our minds. We're not there. We're still in the world. That's what the flesh is. That's what the flesh want to do, everything. You know, you might want to study your word, and then something comes on TV. Oh, well, I'll do it later. Put God on the side. Put God on the back burner. I'll do it later. And that's the problem. That is the problem. And it's dangerous. It's tragic. It's tragic when we're not doing what God asks us to do. So Jesus will answer our prayers, and we need to pray God for strength to overcome the flesh. We pray today that God will give us the strength to overcome the flesh. Hallelujah. When we're feeling weak,
yeah.
When we're feeling, my God, help us, God, to overcome this weakness that we have in our flesh, oh God. Hallelujah. This weakness that tries to overpower us, God. Lord God, we want your spirit to overpower us, God. We want to live in your spirit, God. We want to live in your power, God. Help us, God, not to allow our flesh to take over, Father. We need you to take over, God. We need you right now, oh God, so that we can do all the things that you have commanded us to do. Oh, God, we need a right spirit, God. Oh, God, renew the right spirit in us, God. Open the eyes of our heart, God. We want to see you, Father God. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, because we don't want to be destroyed. Oh, God, we don't want to be destroyed by the enemy, God, because you've already made a way for us to be victorious. glorious God. Help us to make the choice to decide to follow you in all your ways, to take up that cross and follow you no matter what, God, no matter what is going on, God. Strengthen us to do your will, God. Oh, God, even for some, God, who are weak in their faith, God. Oh, God, strengthen us in our faith, God. Help us with our faith, God. Help us with our walk, God. Help us with everything, God, that we, oh, God, have to face in this life, God, because it's not an easy task, because the enemy is always lurking to do wrong. But, Lord God, your power is greater than the enemy. Glory be to God. Your power is greater than anything and anybody. So, God, please, God, we pray today that your people understand that the only way to be empowered is to give you our all in all. Put it on their minds, oh God. You say whatever we ask the Father in your name, you would give it. So, God, we're asking you, God, to give, oh God, help the people who are weak. Help us when we're weak in our flesh, God. Help us when we want to do something we know we shouldn't be doing, God. Help us, Lord God. We need you. We're crying out for help, Lord. Help us to be watchful, God, to be watchful in the spirit, to stay on the wall, God. Hallelujah. The only that we really need, God, and we know we need, not the only thing, but the watchfulness, hallelujah, hallelujah, is a good weapon to be watchful and to have our armor on. Remind us, God, that what we have, that what you've given us to work with, God, is all we need, hallelujah, our armor, our prayerful life, Lord God, hallelujah, our fasting, God. It's going to help us, God, to not be weak in the flesh. The flesh, to not be mindful that the flesh can take over, to be mindful that the flesh will take over, Father. Help people to understand that, Father God, because that's what we need, is this understanding. People think that there's no harm in some of the things that we do, but there is. When we're not paying attention to you, Father God, there is harm in that. There's harm in the fact that we don't pray like we should. There's harm in the fact that we don't give like we should. There's harm, Lord God, when we're not helping like we should. So, Lord God, help us to do what we need to help in the name of Jesus. And, God, we thank you that you are faithful and that you will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But, Lord, we know, when we are tempted, you will provide a way out so that we can endure it. The endurance is in your strength, oh God. Thank you for being a way out. Thank you for being our way maker. Thank you for giving us that spiritual watchfulness. Oh God, I'm speaking today, spiritual watchfulness. Because just know, y'all, the temptations come. They're going to come. Trials and tribulations, all that come. But Lord, help us to always know we must pray. The flesh is an enemy to the soul. So we got to be spiritually alert. Oh, God, help us. Help us, God. Wake us up, Lord. Wake up your church. Wake up your church. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. What Apostle was saying, in a nutshell, in essence, he's talking about the Spirit of God. And how great his spirit is. The spirit of a believer, the spirit of a believer is willing to follow God. Is willing. And God will help us to do it. Everything he says, we can do it. Because we have the victory. But please, please, we're asking, we're this thing to the people of God, because he only attacks us, y'all. We're not talking about people who don't know Jesus Christ. He's not born again. We're talking about people who know the Lord. Satan tries to set his trap for us. He wants us to give in to all of the lust, give in to that flesh which is full of lust. Apostle talked about that, full of greed, gluttony, and all other sins are related. My God. Just about everything, y'all, we see on TV is speaking to the flesh. It's speaking to the lust of the flesh. Even on social media. That's another one. It's speaking to the flesh. The advertisements speaking to the flesh. The movies speaking to the flesh. It's not just by chance. Apostle, this is a powerful, powerful message. It's all about the flesh and overcoming that weakness. Overcoming. We are overcomers because Jesus said so. How do we overcome? Just by doing everything that God said to do. Another horrible thing that the devil does, he puts fear. He puts fear in people. And when people get scared, they don't know what to do. And a lot of times they'll do the negative instead of the positive, which is to do what God says. They'll try to do things their own way. But Jesus spoke about fear. He said, and I'm done after this. Y'all, I say y'all, because he spoke to everybody. Don't worry about your life, what you eat or drink, right? Or about your body. Don't worry about it. What you will wear, don't worry about that. And he said, because isn't life more than that? Isn't life more than the food, the body, the clothes, the cars, the degrees, hallelujah, all of the things we go after in life? No way. No way it has more gratification or it has more to add to our lives than what the Spirit of the Lord will give. Jesus said, this is so good. I always remember the scripture. He said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or throw away in barns. But he said, your heavenly Father feeds them. This is one of my favorite. Are you not much more valuable than they? What do you say? There's a struggle, y'all. But when we watch and pray, when we remain spiritually alert and go to God for help, we find strength in the time of need, strength in the time of temptation, strength in everything that we have to face, every challenge, everything we have to face, because nothing is too hard for God. And when we do fail, when we do mess up, remember, we have Jesus on our side. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, our righteous brother. Our righteous brother. So Apostle Calendar talked a little too long, but praise God, because you have preached this word and preached it so wonderfully. I mean, you were on point with everything, just going from scripture to scripture. It was so beautiful. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it, coming from a really tough week and then coming with this word like that. That's the empowerment of God. God will empower us to do his will. Hallelujah. We got the power working in us, and we can live it, and we can do what we need to do through that power, through the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. So thank you, sir, so much more I could say about this word, but and how much it laid on my heart. But I'm going to leave it here because you have done such a wonderful job preaching it. And there's others. I heard Evangelist Sheila, and I know Deacon Frazier is there. I don't know who else may be there. Oh, and our amplified sister. I think you mentioned that our amplified sister is
online.
Yeah,
she was on. She just dropped off, but she was on.
Oh.
She heard all of you and all of me.
Yeah, so long.
Thank
Maybe
you so much, Apostle.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You put in so much. You add so much to it. And this going to take me a little while to get rid of it, get it through, because the Lord is speaking through this message so strong. Oh, not just this message,
yes,
all the messages that we've been putting out recently since last month, a month before. God, I mean, because people, I have new people are sending friend requests. They've been tagging. I have a Caucasian family in New York City that just this about 2.5 months that they've been tagging the ministry. I said, well, praise the Lord, you know. Praise the Lord. This is why we are hitting this thing the way that it's supposed to go, you know, and we're making it very plain. No, we need people to give to help the poor, but that's not our main objective, because God going to make a way. Our job is to get the truth out there so people will be convicted. Even when we are sleeping, the word will convict them if we are giving them the truth. If we are tickling their ears, guess what's going to happen? We're going to have to pay for it, because God's taking record of everything. He's taking record. When the preacher gets there and just preaching them, what Deacon Frazier called them, watermelon Kool-Aid message, what? They have to give an account for it. They have to give an account for it, because God said so. Every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth, we have to give an account for it. So teach the truth. If people get mad, let them get mad. Guess what? Heaven is rejoicing when you're preaching the truth. Glory to God.
Yes,
hallelujah. Glory to God. So thank you so much. The line is open.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The noon where you all are. Afternoon. Well, thank you, Lord. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Tis so sweet to trust in God. Tis so sweet to know He's our Savior. Okay, I didn't plan to sing a song, but I just heard it. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus. How we trust you. I don't know, but it just came to me. How you prove yourself more and more. Jesus. Just to trust him and just to know, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Apostle Washington, you talked about nature. And I don't know if you all are paying attention to the moon. Tonight may be the last night. So it's not so much just the fascination of the moon. It's the fascination of how awesome God is. And that He wrote this word for us, and then He told us that He is I am that I am. But to take it in, live it out, it's quite a process. It's quite a process, because you say the flesh is a it says it's enmity against God. But then we reason with ourselves that we're in the flesh. He gave us the flesh. But we're learning that the spirit is higher than the flesh.
And amen.
To dismantle this whole thing is a process, because someone I've dealt with, they are still there. They can't see it. But then I like what Jesus said when he said, without the Holy Spirit, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And that the Holy Spirit is working to do his will and his good pleasure, even though our flesh battles. I've had that myself. Many of us, I believe, have. But at 65, I'm just coming to this place of we can absolutely trust God. Now, the Holy Spirit did the work. I didn't do the work. He did the work. And through my disobedience, I'm learning obedience, because the ways of the world don't work because they're enmity against God. And that's the part that we need to see. One, who God is, which he keeps telling us over and over, but thanks be to God for inviting us into his family to work with us, hard-headed, stiff-necked people, you know. And we see that in Jonah, you know. And he tells Jonah, who's aggravated with God, it's good for you to be mad. You know, that's, you know, like, we want this for the people, but the people have to see the Lord for themselves. We have to love, teach, preach, but I found in my own walk, stand back and let people do what they do, because they're going to do what they do, and so on. This week I was on YouTube just for one morning real quick, and I was going to go one direction, and I saw this man preaching, and the cops came. So I wanted to hear what he had to say, and he was truly preaching the word of God. And everybody was in their moment of walking by, shopping, doing this, doing that, but the man was preaching the unadulterated truth. Because, you know, they say he's yelling, but he was preaching. And what happened was a whole squad of police came and talked to him, and he stood up with it to them. And they, I believe because of his cult, his, you know, sometimes you can get arrested for preaching the gospel, but he confronted it. The police. He didn't, I mean, not in a disrespectful way. He defended the faith and what he was all about. And then after it was over, he talked about how you can do everything you want to do, but when it comes to the word of God, they bring a whole squad of cops, 'cause you're, and he's preaching truth. And Amos, it says, truth crushed to the ground will stand. And I'm finding that, like, Dr. King's been dead for now going on 60 years. And beyond the dream, we're hearing how the truth of what he was speaking, which really I believe God spoke through him, is come, we see it unfold to this day. But we're blinded by the devil. We're blinded by the pride of life. We're blinded by these other things, like you say, that compete against the word of God and his simplicity. But lately, I've been looking at the birds, And he said, and I keep hearing, free as a bird. So I look at the birds, and they just fly here, fly there. And like you say, God supplies for them. I have a walnut tree in my bedroom window, and I've been really watching squirrels. Because I thought, well, I'll help them in the winter when they're, you know, when they're, the trees, the branches fall. But Brother Carter said, no, you'll have a problem if you do that. Because they have squirrel food at the store. But it's amazing how God provided, like you say, not only what we need, but what they need. But sometimes when you're walking through those seasons, you crying out to God because you don't understand and you feel like he fails you and he doesn't hear you. And I'm finding out, oh, he hears us. And that's a miracle. So I hope this is connecting with your word, the word of God on today, that we are hard-headed and stiff-necked. And all God wants is for us to love him above all things. And I don't say this like I'm guiltless. I say it because I'm just as guilty, but through the blood of Jesus, I am in his family, and he is helping me, and that I'm receiving revelation about this. And I just wrote it in my book not long, I think it was last week. Since he loves us, what should we do to say we love him corporately and individually? I've been saying, amen. I yield. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Evangelist. I was watching, I got that post you was talking about, I got that on my page with the young evangelist, and people called the police on him, say he was yelling. And he said, you know, this is what they do. You know, you can do anything else in the world, in America, because this happened in America. And it's all right. But when you preach the truth, when you preach the truth of God's word, they will call the police on you. And the police told me, say, no, I can give you a citation right now, but I'm not going to give you one. I just need you to bring down the volume. You see, you cannot preach the gospel in a hidden place. He said, you can't light a candle and put it underneath a bushel. He's talking about the gospel. You put it on a hill where everybody can see and hear and receive from it. So you can't preach the gospel. Oh, the Lord is love. The Lord is good. Huh? Well, you got to come to Jesus. You got to repent. How many people going to hear you if you talk the gospel like that? You can't use a megaphone. So you got to reach out, and your voice now become the microphone. But he preached a little bit. Another, after they left, he preached about a few seconds more, and then he said, stop. He's going to stop, and he stopped. But this show you everything is, they're making everything that's good look bad, and everything that's bad, they're trying to make it look good. But God, bad can never become good, neither can good become bad. You know, good going to always be good, truth going to always be truth, and lying going to always be lying. But so this is what we have to, and a lot of preachers are compromising right now. You know, they're not preaching the complete, infallible truth of God's word. If you want to hear the truth, you got to look for a church line or a church conference where people are really determined to preach the truth. But in the building that is made by hands, most preachers are not speaking it out loud, you know. I got a preacher there, I think he's from Texas, young man, he's about 27 years old, and he's one of the most powerful preachers that I hear in this time. But he preached the truth, and he preached just like the other preacher from South Carolina that rebuked Beyonce. He's preaching the truth. He's not compromising the truth, you know, but when you have people will compromise the truth so they can get $1 million, $2 million. They have got their reward. You know, there's no reward for them in heaven because they sold out the kingdom here on earth
so they can gratify their flesh. They can have the money and stuff, you know. But I thank God for you all, Apostle Queen, the Amplified Queen is back on the line. So I'm going to stop right there so she can come on in and respond. Come on in, Amplified Queen.
I know you can't be talking about me.
We haven't heard her voice in a while.
Wow. I know you did not say Apostle Calendar, I am going to get you.
Do you know I put you in the message, as Apostle Washington, I put you in the message early in the message. I said the Amplified Queen is on the line, so I'm gonna preach, I'm gonna minister to them out the Amplified. That's one of my Bibles too.
I heard you when you said that. And I got tickled. I said, okay, look who's acting up today. But the word was so on point and very, very much needed for this particular time and season. The adversary doesn't hold back. It doesn't wait. It doesn't ponder. It's not trying to make decisions. It just does. So we need to stay on point. We need to continue to be ready. We need to continue to watch as well as pray.
Amen.
And stay girded with power.
Amen.
Stay girded with power. And the power is from covereth to cover, and that is the word of God. So I thank and I praise God for today's message and everything that was said and all that shared in the name of Jesus.
Apostle, you know, one of the things that the Lord showed to me in this message, just as you were sharing, it just came back to me. I didn't put it in the message, but I'm going to put it in the message now, and I put it again. He says that they're proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but broken in the natural, because they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. So in other words, they are rampant, they're rolling on the floor, they're jumping off the altar, they're throwing the water bottle all across the altar like they're doing something. It's all antics. It does not have any anointing behind it. God says so. God said they have a form of godliness. It looks like it's doing something, but it's doing nothing. It's trying to impress man or woman, but it's don't impress God, because God is looking at a different altar. Do you hear what I'm saying? You better get this. God is looking at a different altar. He's looking at the altar of our hearts. The altar of our hearts. I'm telling you, this is the truth. And I can't stress that any harder. God is looking at the altar of our hearts. People are saying and doing stuff, but it doesn't impress God. It doesn't impress God what they wear, what they are. The Rolex watches, the Lamborghini, Ferraris, Cadillacs, Lexus, that don't impress God. What impresses God is what we have allowed him to sow in our hearts. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
And then once we get it in our hearts, now we got to do like a cow. You know, a cow got two stomachs, and then one stomach gets the food, and then he regurgitates from the one stomach, and he chew it again and again and again. So we got to start to regurgitate the word that's in our heart and let it come out and let it flow into others' ears and into their hearts, regardless if they love it or don't love it. Because guess what? Once you hear the word, I'm telling you the truth. Once we hear the word, you can't hide from it. It's just like a camera that you outside, and once you take that picture, you can't do nothing with it. It's on the negative. It's on it already. All you got to do now is develop it. Like Minister Buckmus was saying yesterday, you got to exercise it. You got to exercise it. As you mature and you're nurturing your faith, now you got to exercise your faith. You got to exercise it. You got to do it.
Yeah.
And you can't say, well, you know, I studied this for 3 nights, and they're going to really love this when I preach it. No. When you come to preach, I preach straight from the Bible.
straight from the Bible. I got plenty of sermons written down here and folders, but I preach straight. That's the Holy Spirit preaching through me. So when I'm saying stuff, I don't care if people get mad or not. It's what the Holy Spirit is saying. I believe what the Holy Spirit is saying through me.
That's right.
And that's what God wants. God wants us to get that word, preach that word, and preach the word that's going to, because we in the last days, regardless if you believe it or not. Stuff is going to happen that people are going to get surprised. If you don't go on YouTube and see the moving, nuclear weapons moving by train and moving by boat, moving by submarine.
Mm-hmm.
They're shifting all over the place. Go on YouTube, you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. But our government is not talking. You're not hearing it over the television. You're not hearing it in the news.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look for yourself. See? If you're a preacher, you got to go in there and you got to look for stuff. Because you don't want to catch where your socks are. You want to be ready, and when you got to be armored up, fully armored. You know, you got to have it completely ready to go to battle. You're not going up there shooting up nobody, but you have to open your mouth. Sound the trumpet. Sound the alarm. The weapon of your warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we have to open our mouth, and we got to declare so people will get saved. See, because when you begin to tell them, look, you can't save yourself. You can't. The tornadoes are coming. The earthquakes are coming. Oh, God, the volcanoes are erupting. Now they're shooting rockets from here and from there. You can't. Your bulletproof vest can't stop a rocket. The Holy Spirit can stop a rocket. He can take that rocket and turn it backward and make it go down in the bottom of the sea.
It
will start a tsunami, but you'll be saved. And this is what God is calling for right now in these messages. We have to preach that message that people are going to know. Even if I know Christian, I don't like Jesus. I don't like that. One man said last night on the UT, said, I don't care about no white Jesus. I'm not looking for a Jesus of color. I'm looking for the one that's in the spirit. That's the one I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a black Jesus or a white Jesus or a yellow Jesus. I'm looking for the one that's in the spirit. Because he said, I'm a spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. So I got to get my spirit connected with him. He is a spirit. My spirit must be connected to the spirit.
Yeah.
And see, and that now the devil is so smart. I'm telling people don't give him. You got to give him his props. He's so smart. Now he got the Christians. Oh God, and the non-Christians. He got them all fighting. But he's a white God. He's a black God. He Christians fight against each other. They're not trying to live holy. But they fight because they've been deceived by the Catholic in the worship of the white God. Just get with the spirit. Get with the spirit. That's how the devil got you. They got them busy fighting with each other over a white Jesus and a black Jesus. But they're not trying to get holy. They're not trying to be obedient to God's word. Leave the colors alone and get with the manuscript. Hear what I'm saying. Leave the colors alone. And get with the manuscript.
Amen.
The heaven and earth shall pass away. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word stands forever. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. The spirit gives life, so we got to get with the spirit. Hear what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this to another dimension the next time that the Lord allow me to come back. I'm going to take it to another dimension.
Amen.
I'm going to work tomorrow and Tuesday. I'm going to work tomorrow and Tuesday. And so then I should be back here Wednesday or Thursday. But the line will be open. Somebody going to be preaching. Whenever you don't have the line, somebody going to be preaching, you know. This is our assignment. This is not my assignment. This is our assignment. Hear what I'm saying? Not mine. Ours. It's our assignment. We are working for God. And when we are working for him, we get to our position. We get to our position.
Yeah.
You know them, those people in the Army, the Marines, and all that stuff, in the Navy, they stay girded up. They stay armored, well-dressed, ready to move, to be deployed at any moment. Everything is ready for them to deploy. We are the last people that want to get ready. We are last to get ready. We don't want to pray. We find an excuse not to pray. We find an excuse not to fast. We find an excuse not to take Holy Communion. We find an excuse for everything when it comes to God. But we're ready for everything else. everything else. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you all today, God is holding us accountable. He's holding us accountable. Because he chose us. We didn't choose him. I'm sure that when I was in the crack house, I wasn't thinking nothing but God. I'm going to tell the truth. I wasn't thinking nothing but God. All I wanted to do was get high. That's all I was thinking about. All I wanted to do was find a woman. That's all I was thinking about. I tell the truth. But God was thinking about me. I was on his mind. You were on his mind. Whatever your vice was, my vice was cocaine and cognac and stuff like that. Your vice may be something else. Well, while you was, whatever your vice was, God was thinking about you. You weren't thinking about him. You were thinking about sufficing your flesh. And God was thinking that he wanted to pull you out of that darkness and brought you into his light, bring you into his light. Now we're in the light. Guess what we got to do? We got to let the light shine. The light is no help to anyone if it is snuffed out. Do you hear me?
That's true.
The light is no help to anyone if it's snuffed out. When people see the light, they walk out of darkness. But we have to let the light shine so in love, compassion, not in a judgmental fashion. That's why a lot of people not coming to the light, because some preachers are knocking down the people, knocking them down. They're already on the ground. They're living a sinful lifestyle, and that's all they focus on. If you talk about the lifestyle, I say, look, even if I was in sin, I was a fornicator and adulterer, but God saw fit that he came into where I was and drew me out. He is able to draw you out from where you are. It doesn't matter what your vice is. That's love. See, you're talking with love now. It doesn't matter what your vice is. Don't say, hey, you're a homosexual. God, no. It doesn't matter what your vice is. God is willing and able to draw you out. You had a broken leg. See, you're living a homosexual lifestyle, a fornicated lifestyle, a thief, a gambler, a drug user. You got a broken leg. That's a broken leg. See? You have some deficiencies. But God said, I'm going to fix your leg. I'm going to supply your deficiency. Everything that you are lacking, I'm going to supply, because I'm a God of love. And this is what God is requiring from us. Teach the truth. The truth is love. The truth is love. He said in the book of John, chapter 17 and 20, he said, many will believe on him through their word. So he gave us authority to call the word our word. But you can only have that authority if you're living according to the word. You can't call the word your word if you're living like hell, you know.
Yeah.
Proclaiming heaven but living like hell. You hear that? They're proclaiming heaven but living like hell. You can't do it. That's why there's no anointing. There's no anointing. There's no power. No authority. Man, I'm telling you, this is a good day.
Ooh. Yes.
The lane is open. I think I hear Brother Deacon out there too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle. Bless the Lord, damn. Bless him.
God bless everybody. In the name of Jesus. God is good.
Yes, he is.
And there is no time like right now.
You better believe it.
I'm here to tell you, there is no time like the present. No time like the present.
You know, I know she watches football here. She screams around her team is playing. I got the door closed.
Who's
and she sees me so loud and come through the door. The Patriots is playing for my team. But let me say to you, you know, Jesus said it. What you just said, Jesus said this. This what Jesus says. He says that the prophets long to see the time that we're living in.
Yeah.
But they don't see it. Yeah. We are going to see things that the prophets and the elders before us really wanted to see. We're going to see the full manifestation of God's power. Do you hear what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
We're going to see the full manifestation of his power.
I believe it.
But we got to stay focused. We got to stay focused. We got to stay in faith. And we got to stay working.
Though this has faith in the laying of. Faith is not dormant. First, faith is action. Faith is action.
Yes.
Faith is not a dormant word. It's not a still word.
That's
it's a moving
right.
word. Faith.
That's right.
So you got to put some. You got to put some words with it. You know.
Yes, right.
Well, we're gonna talk more about this week if the Lord say the same. If the Lord say
Amen.
The same. I thank God for the little rest that I had this week. It was just so good. So tomorrow, the Lord say the same. I'm getting ready to go again tomorrow morning. And you all saw, I saw Apostle, you tagged the folder. That's the work that I'm doing. And it looks all right now, but it's going to look even better. I'm putting the computers on it, three computers, a computer for each spoiler. And as all computerized, and I put them up, as I already installed Friday. So I will install the last one on tomorrow, if the Lord say the same. And then we'll run the gas pipe, then we'll run the thermostatic wire to it and the electric wire, and it's ready to fire them up. So I think we should be able to fire them up by Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Apostle.
You know. So. Yes.
Apostle.
Yes.
They put in this tankless water heater, and I would take the round water heater any day, the 40-gallon. I would take that any day. This thing, it's been, I think, going on the second year, and it runs more cold water than it runs hot. I literally have to,
They may not have that thing hooked up. They may not have it hooked up right. Because, I mean, I put a tankless water heater. I just put one in Whitman, and I put an electric boiler on the third floor for the people in the apartment last year. And they got more hot water than they can use. I mean, they can run a hot washing machine with it. You know, they got more hot water than me. You know, depends on the type of unit that you're using. And they got one on the first floor, and they got more hot water than they need. It's constantly hot. It starts up cold first for a few seconds, but then when that water get hot, it's constant. It don't run out. But it may be the type of unit that you have. But, you know, maybe the type of unit that you have. But I install them all the time, and I don't get no complaints from them. You know, I don't get no complaints from them. But the line is open. Thank you so much, Evangelist. Now, you got to get the right type of unit, and, you know, and it will do what it's supposed to do. If nobody have a word to share, I see Deacon is busy. They have Apostle, have Bishop come on in and close us out, and we'll see you all. I don't know how Apostle or how your time is for tomorrow, but I hope that you and Bishop can bring the word tomorrow and Tuesday, unless you have an appointment on Tuesday. The line is, come on in, Bishop, and close us out.
It is well, Apostle.
Okay.
Well.
And while you all are out there, those that don't know, keep Papa Apostle Millie in prayer. She lost a nephew. Keep her in prayer. And, you know, the nephew's already gone, but she's carrying a lot of weight on her shoulders, you know. Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. But that's why you got to pray for the ones that are living. They're now carrying the pain, the yokes, the burdens from losing a family member. So keep her in prayer. We were praying for her last night in our private time. We started praying for her this morning in our public time. So we keep her covered and keep the family covered, okay? And anybody else that you know that's going through loss or needs, pray them. Keep them in prayer, okay?
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you.
God
bless you all. All right. And so, may the Lord bless us all. May the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord bless, as Apostle said, all the families who are going through grief right now. But comfort them with the assurance of knowing that their their family members or friends or whatever have accepted Jesus as their Savior. So they know that unless they have gone back to the evil ways and if they have repented, that their life in eternity will be sweet. Glorious life. God bless each and every one. And in the strength of God, sustain us. May the hands of God protect us. May the will of God direct us. The power of God go with us this day and every day. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bishop and Apostle. Thank you, Evangelist and Apostle Claire and Deacon Fraser, for coming on this morning. And we thank God for all the rest of people that will hear this message and all the messages that go forth from here, you know, because God is doing a great work. And we thank God for you all. Have a blessed day and be safe. Remember to put God first, because he put you first when he sent his son to die on the cross. You were on his mind. That's why his son had to go to the cross, so you can have access to the tree of life. So put him first. Don't put your husband, your wife, your children, nobody. I put him first, and then everybody else after. No. And so let him know that I love you guys so much, more than you will know, but Jesus loves you even more, even more. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bless you all.
God bless you all.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. God bless you all. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Bye-bye.
And bye.